Several updates for your prayer list also that I received this morning. Of course, the family of Kevin Corman, who passed away this week, keep them in your mind. And also, I have too many notes. His wife Tammy Corman is in the hospital. And I wasn't aware of that, so keep her in your prayers especially. Marianne Kirby, which is mentioned in your prayer list as being in the hospital, she is in the hospital, but she had to have surgery. After the surgery, she is doing great and about to be moved from ICU to a regular room. So that's good news. David Hildebrand has been home now for a few weeks, and he's doing well. That is on your prayer list. And Anita Floyd, a cancer patient, has finished her chemotherapy and is about to begin her immunotherapy, if you understand that. I have a thank you note from Tracy Teeter, who says, "Dear church family, thank you so much for the beautiful flowers the church sent me after surgery. I greatly appreciate your kindness, thoughts, and prayers. And I extend them back to so many who are facing health challenges. Now that's from Tracy Teeter. And then we have a thank you note for Angie, from Angie Claggett. Thank you for thinking about me. I appreciate the thoughtful gift. She's one of our college graduates. High school graduate. Oh, Andy. I'm sorry. Andy and Allie, I get the names mixed up. High school graduate, yes. And also wanted to point out again that Sherry Traynor and Connie Williams are waiting for important information. Connie is waiting for her MRI on June 7th. Which will tell us that she's cancer-free. And we're hoping for that. Sherry Traynor has a doctor's appointment in June also, which will hopefully determine the cause of the infection in her leg, which has given her so much trouble. So keep them in your prayers, along with all of our graduates. I think that's all that I have. Moses was about to be finished with his 120-year-old life. He'd already received the news from God he would not be accompanying the Israelites as they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And that's how Deuteronomy came about. Moses was preaching to the people, giving them second law. That's what Deuteronomy means. He was giving them the law again, over and over, telling them not to forget God and giving them reason after reason to remember. He said, observe the commandments of the Lord your God, walking in His ways and revering Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful you do not forget the Lord your God. We live in the United States of America, which is also a good land. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. God's blessed our nation and has blessed us by giving us all we need and more. And that's why Jesus gave His disciples this admonition. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Jesus said to His disciples, do this in remembrance of Me. So we come to this table to remember Jesus.
Do anything, Father, that we choose to do. And Lord, we want to recognize the people that have fought in wars and gave their life for us to have that freedom. And also, Lord, we want to thank you for freedom from sin if we so choose to follow the path that you've laid out for us. And you gave your only begotten Son for us to have that opportunity. And we are grateful for that as well. Now, Lord, we partake of this bread, which represents the body, and this cup, which represents the bloodshed. And we are grateful and forever grateful. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this church you have provided us. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you can find a hymn book, we'd ask you to turn to hymn number 548 to begin our singing this morning. Number 548.
Let's sing glory
to his name.
There at the cross, where he came.
Turn then to hymn number 324 and sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Prayer hymn is number 304, and if you'll join me in singing just the first verse of that hymn as we stand together and join in prayer. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this beautiful opportunity to honor the men and women who so bravely serve this country and the armed forces. We ask you to bless and strengthen every one of them. We ask you to heal our wounded warriors who return home in pain. Bless them, heal their bodies and their minds, and restore their souls. Father, we ask you to bless the families of our military who stay behind while their loved ones go into battle. Keep them safe and provide for their needs according to your abundance. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon the families whose loved ones have given their lives for this country. Keep them safe, comfort their hearts, and provide for their needs too. We ask you to give courage also to our chaplains and others who bring your word to our military. Bless their ministry and bring a great harvest of souls from their efforts. We pray for those who are struggling to rescue their freedom in Ukraine. And we ask you to forgive the sins of this nation, Lord, as well as the sins of leaders who forget how to pray. Have mercy on all Americans and bring us to a state of repentance. These are difficult times, and we ask you to forgive our pride as a nation. Deliver us from evil when it comes upon us. You alone are righteous and holy. You alone are worthy of praise. And we thank you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a short quotation to share with you. In July 1797, the Constitutional Convention had been struggling for weeks, making very little progress on writing a constitution for our country. And finally, 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin rose and addressed the group. And he said, when the convention began their work, and the whole process of dividing themselves from Britain began, they had daily prayers. Benjamin Franklin said, Have we now forgotten this powerful friend, or do we imagine we no longer need him? He said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We've been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I firmly believe this. And I think that the strength of our nation comes from its trust in God. And in the beginning, that was a strong factor. It becomes less of a factor today, it seems, but it's not gone. There are a lot of good people like you who still believe our trust is in the Lord. I have another quotation. This one's a little longer, but Lieutenant Colonel Eric Wesley spoke these words at a change of command ceremony at Topeka, Kansas, at Fort Riley, back in 2006. He said to the assembled crowd, allow me to tell you about these men and the families of the men standing in front of you. I would start by telling you what they are not. Frankly, and I have to confess this, I fear our culture has a naive, somewhat ignorant view of what soldiers do. Some think they are merely fighters, men who go out, look for, and capture or kill bad guys. There are others who may see our soldiers as the makers of the good news stories that everyone wants to see on TV. You know, the stories where the guys who paint schools, pass out candy, and visit orphanages. Let me tell you, they do that stuff. All of it. But it doesn't define who they are, nor does it come close to defining what they are achieving. And then he quotes William Bennett. President Lincoln said the American soldier, his patriotism, fidelity, and valor have made this land the last best hope on earth. Now, why is that? The reason is because they aren't merely painting schools. They aren't just finding and killing bad guys. These men are ambassadors for cultural change. They are literally shaping a culture, physically lifting it out of the grasp of oppression and making a way for human dignity. They are agents of cultural change. They are on point in our nation's role as the last best hope, as ambassadors in a complex world. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, of course, as Chuck has already reminded us. And I appreciate that, Chuck. Thank you for issuing that invitation. But it's going to be a day that's more than just a day off from work. It's more than a day when you can go to the lake or have a barbecue. It's a day set aside to remember those who have given their lives as ambassadors for cultural change. And I want to remind us this morning of three agents of cultural change that have shaped our lives. And the first is the soldiers who have died for our freedom. When I say soldiers, I would point out that more than 1 million Americans have died in wars fighting for the freedom that we enjoy. Not all countries enjoy the same freedoms that we have here in America. We are free today because of the service of our soldiers, our sailors, our Marines, our Air Force, our Coast Guard, our Border Patrol. We're free to pray or not to pray. We're free to worship as we choose. We're free to speak our minds. And do we ever? We're free to vote for the leadership of this country. We need to remember the sacrifice of our American soldiers, and when I say soldiers, I include all the branches. Ambassadors for cultural change. Those who have gone before us so that we can enjoy these freedoms that mean so much to us. It has been said, and rightly so, freedom is not free. There are people who have paid for our freedom. We call them servicemen and women. Memorial Day grew out of a need to remember where we've been, because only then can we know where we're going. We want to remember the cherished dreams of our nation so we can pass them on to the next generation. And we have a lot to remember. I think that was on the mind of Abraham Lincoln on November 19, 1863, when he made his way to Gettysburg, to the battlefield there. The ceremony was to dedicate the cemetery where over 40,000 soldiers had died in a three-day battle. Mr. Lincoln's remarks, I think, probably planted the seed from which Memorial Day grew. And his remarks included these words. His remarks only took about 2 minutes, but I'm going to quote just one section. He says, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here, referring to the sacrifice that these soldiers had made. Over the next few years, many communities set aside special days to honor fallen soldiers of the Civil War. And eventually, the scope was expanded to include those who gave their lives in any war of this country. And while the practice of decorating the graves with flowers or crosses was continued, the name was changed from Decoration Day to Memorial Day. And I think that's significant. We're not just decorating graves. We're remembering the people who gave. It's called Memorial Day because we don't want to forget. It's one generation's attempt to help the next generation be aware. Remember the sacrifices that were made to secure our freedom. We have a lot to remember. I'm sure you're familiar with the bugle call called Taps. And if you attend a memorial service tomorrow anywhere, you most likely will hear Taps played. That dates back to the Civil War. In 1862, the Union Army, General Daniel Butterfield and his brigade were camped at Harrison's Landing in Virginia. They had just completed a 7-day battle near Richmond. And at that time, the standard way of signaling lights out for the troops was a bugle call followed by 3 loud taps on the drum. Well, Butterfield was dissatisfied with that. He thought the last sound the men heard at night should be more soothing and melodious. So he rewrote the bugle call, and he did away with the banging on the drum. And after he had his own bugler play it for his men, buglers from other units became interested, and it quickly spread throughout the Union Army. And even caught on with the Confederates. And then in July, while they were still camped at Harrison's Landing, a corporal in Captain John Tidball's battery died of his wounds. And the captain wanted to bury him with full military honors, including the traditional firing of 3 rifle volleys over the grave. But he was refused permission because it was feared that the Confederates might mistake the rifle shots as the beginning of an attack by the Union Army. And Tidball later wrote, "The thought suggested itself to me to sound taps instead, which we did." And the idea was taken up by others, and in short time it was adopted by the whole army. And taps is now looked upon as the most appropriate and touching part of a military funeral. Someone wrote a poem about it. "I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wonder just how many times that taps had meant amen. When a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend, I thought of all the children, of the mothers and the wives, the fathers, sons and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free." So it's important for us to remember those soldiers who've given their lives for our freedom. But also, I think we might remember the saints who have given their lives for our faith. It's not easy to be a Christian. In some parts of the world, it's much harder than others. Some parts of the world, people are killed for their faith. I get a little publication called the Voice of the Martyrs. And every month, it tells of believers who have been imprisoned, tortured, and or killed just for being Christians. Even in the good old USA, it happens sometimes. A church in Topeka, Kansas was set on fire. One military chaplain tells of being in Saudi Arabia when there was a day when the soldiers could not leave their compound to go to the market. A public execution was taking place. A person had become a convert to Christianity, and he was being executed for that. In Saudi Arabia, there's no freedom of religion. No public worship is allowed unless it is Muslim. Anyone who converts to another religion may be executed. Anyone who tries to convert someone to another religion may be subject to imprisonment or execution. There have been a lot of folks who've given their lives for this faith that we embrace. Even many of those who first translated the scriptures into English so that common folks like us could read them, some of those were persecuted and killed for giving us the Word of God. And Christians around the world and at various times have been persecuted for their faith. And this is our heritage. This is our legacy. So on this Memorial Day weekend, I think it would be appropriate to remember also those who have gone before us and left us an example of their faith. So we ought to remember the soldiers who've given their lives for our freedom and the saints who've given their lives for our faith. What I would like for you to do is to remember the Savior who gave His life for our forgiveness. Try to use your imagination for just a moment. Let's imagine we're sitting in a prison cell. Not in a comfortable church building, but in a prison cell. They came for you last night. They knocked on the door while you were still sleeping. And when they arrested you, all you had with you was the clothes that were on your back. They put you behind bars, put you in jail. It was Saturday night when they came for you. Now it's Sunday morning. You're in a prison cell with the rest of us, and all of us have been arrested for one reason. We believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We're cold, we're hungry, we're frightened, but we're together. And we'll remember our Savior who died for our forgiveness. We're not alone. We're together. And it's not just us, for we've been promised that wherever two or three gather in His name, He will be there with them. You see, He too was imprisoned for His faith. His life was taken from Him unjustly. He had committed no crime, no sin, but He died to give us freedom from the guilt of our own sins. He died to bring us forgiveness, everlasting life. So the Apostle Peter told us, an assembled multitude, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And I would repeat those same words to you. For Jesus died for you, to bring you forgiveness and everlasting life, if you will accept His gift, if you will say yes to Him, even today, while we sing our invitation hymn, which is number 395. Number 395, just the first and the last verses of Close to Thee. Let's stand while we sing. Thank you. Heavenly Father, this day we remember. We remember those who've given their lives for our freedom. We remember those believers who've given their lives for our faith. We remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who gave His life for our forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for the gift of memory. May we in turn remember to pass this message of life on to another generation. We pray in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus. Amen.